for the very best in contemporary Christian music. 91.5 FM, WMIE.
Welcome to WGOD Radio, the radio ministry of Island Community Church. Your host for WGOD Radio is Bible teacher and translator Pastor Paul Esposito, senior pastor of Island Community Church, located in Merritt Island, Florida. And now here for today's program is Pastor Paul.
Welcome back once again to WGOD Radio. All truth, all the time. This is your host and speaker for this program. I am Pastor Paul Esposito, the senior pastor here of Island Community Church, along with my associate pastor, Darren Solana. We greet you here today. God bless you, my friends. Thank you for joining us here on this Tuesday. Happy Tuesday to you. Thank you for spending 30 minutes of your Tuesday with me. We're tuning in now to God's frequency. This is WGOD. God is always broadcasting. All we need to do is tune our dials into his frequency. His frequency is the word of God. He has word after word. He will talk to you all day if you go to where he speaks. Now, we are in a study here, series, looking at Moses, the man of God. This is week 3 out of 5. And today we're looking at Moses and the name of God. I've entitled this. We're in Exodus chapter 3. We're going to find the origins of the name Lord. That's Lord with all capitals. You've seen it in your Bibles before. You know, sometimes it's Lord with all caps. Sometimes it's Lord with just a capital L. They spell them different because that's a different name for God. So we're in Exodus chapter 3. God is about to send Moses to Pharaoh. As God says, let my people go. And Moses said to God, well, all right, so when they ask me what your name is, what should I say to them? That's our launching point for today's sermon. For more info on this church, I invite you to one of our services. We are at 1000 North Banana River Drive in Merritt Island. It's Island Community Church. We meet Wednesdays. That's tomorrow, 6 o'clock. We're wrapping up the book of Colossians this week. I'm starting the book of Galatians the week after. So it's Wednesday, much more informal, Bible study, 6 to 7. Sunday mornings at 10:30. We're in Moses. When we're done with that, I'll be in the book of Acts, verse by verse. Those are some of the things coming on here at the church, going on here at the church. You are invited to attend one of our services. Okay, here we go. This is part 2 now of this message. Moses and the name of God.
So, now you know this origin of the name. Remember that phrase, I am, as we move forward here this morning. Now, if you guys would, turn with me, please, to John chapter 8. Going to the New Testament. We might not understand it all, but we know when we hear the phrase, I am, we know what this is. This is the covenant holy name of the self-existent one, Almighty God. Now, I want to look at a conversation that took place between Jesus and the Jewish leaders of the day. Let's pick it up. We're in John chapter 8. Let's pick it up here in verse 51. As we remember, I am is the personal name of God. Okay, here we go. John 8:51. Most assuredly, again, that's amen, amen. Verily, verily. Amen, amen, amen. Most assuredly, I say to you, if anyone keeps my word, he will never see death. Wow. Is that saying that anyone who does what he says will never die? Well, that's how the Jews interpret what he said. Verse 52. Then the Jews said to him, now we know you have a demon. Abraham is dead and the prophets, and you say, if anyone keeps my word, he shall never taste death. Are you greater than our father Abraham, who is dead, and the prophets who are dead? Who do you make yourself out to be? So that's what they ask him. Who do you make yourself out to be, Jesus? But first, what a great promise, right? If anyone keeps my word, he or she will never see death. That is the second death. Will have no power over you. Most of us die once, right? Unless we get lucky and don't die at all. I say lucky, I'm being facetious. Unless if you're the blessed generation that's going to be alive when he comes back. And I'd bet you anything that I own, the generation of your guys' kids and all these other kids that were here today, this world just can't go on like it is without something changing. The generation that's alive when he comes back will never die. So you might die once in this world, but he's guaranteeing that you're not going to die twice, because the first death is not the end. The Bible says, he who overcomes will not be hurt by the second death. That's Revelation chapter 2, verse 11. So here in John 8, things are building up here to a huge crescendo as Jesus reveals to the Jews just who he truly is. Verse 56, Jesus floors them with this comment. Look at what he says. He says, your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day. And he saw it, and he was glad. So the Lord is saying here that he knows Abraham, who lived 2,000 years earlier than him. Verse 57. Then the Jews said to him, you are not even 50 years old, and have you seen Abraham? So you, Jesus, you're not even 50. You're not even 50 years old, and have you seen Abraham? Is this a case of too much linguine? You as a human being, you now as a human being, you don't have a lot of options right here. Jesus hits you with this truth. I have seen Abraham, and he lived 2,000 years earlier. You now, as a congregation, you're running low on options what to do with someone that's going to make that statement to you. You're running out of choices. Who is the man called Jesus? 8:58. Jesus said to them, most assuredly, or verily, verily, or you can take this to the bank. I say to you that before Abraham was, I am. Now in Greek, he said to him, Prin Abraham genestai ego eimi. That is, before Abraham was, I am. This takes us all the way back to where we started. We're back at the burning bush now. Do you guys see who Jesus just said that he is? He's the same God who revealed himself to Moses. And they knew it, which is why they're going to respond like they do here in the next verse. Look at what they do, because they know exactly what he said and who he was claiming to be. Look at what they said. Then they took up stones to throw at him. But Jesus hid himself, and he went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by. What an incredible statement by the man named Jesus. Before Abraham was, I am. What do you do with Jesus? He's either insane, or he is who he says that he is, the Son of God. Josh McDowell says he's either a liar or a lunatic or the Son of God. Those are your three options. This man has said to you that he knew someone and the person was glad 2,000 years before he was born. What do you do with someone who says that? What would you do if I said that? Anyone can say that they're God. The world's full of knuckleheads who say that. What do you do with Jesus? The man named Jesus says he existed long enough to have known Abraham 2,000 years earlier. I want you to see the significance of this name, I am. Now, I know we're looking at Moses in the name of God, But there's no more important thing in this world than for you to know who Jesus is and whom he says that he is. Moses is just the springboard to lead us to the Messiah. Now, for the remainder of this message, let's look at where the Lord uses this name, I Am, again here in the New Testament. 7 times, all here in the Gospel of John. This is where you guys can do some writing on that handout. Now, in all 7 of these, he's going to add something to the name I Am. All 7 of these are found in the Gospel of John. These are the 7 I Am statements. Let me get mine out. These I Am statements go back to our text in Exodus chapter 3. Where God revealed himself to Moses as the great I Am. And these 7 declarations are, 1, and like the name, these are emphatic, absolute, non-negotiable truths about who Jesus is. Not I might be, not I will be, but I am. I am. 1. Next to John 6:35, you can write there, bread of life. He says, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger. He who believes in me shall never thirst. The second, next to 8:12, you can write, light of the world. So we got bread of life next to 6:35, light of the world next to chapter 8, verse 12. He says, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. Again, John 8, 12, as God said, let there be light. Jesus Christ is the light. Next to chapter 10, verse 9, you can write the door. These are as much authoritative and rock solid as the name I Am is. He is these things. He is the bread of life. He is the light of the world. He is the door. Chapter 10, verse 9, I am the door. Not a door, the door. At least the only door that leads to eternal life. There's a million doors out here to choose from, but there's only one that leads to eternal life, salvation, entrance into heaven when you die and leave this world, or if he comes back first, there's only one way, and he is the door. So I am the door. If anyone enters in by me, he will be saved, and it will go in and out and find pasture. 4. Would be the good shepherd. That's next to chapter 10, verse 11. The good shepherd. So, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. 5 would be the resurrection. Next to John 11, 25 and 26. The resurrection. I am the resurrection. He's the Lord of it. He's the Lord of the Sabbath. He is the Lord of the resurrection. Everything goes through him. He is the resurrection and the life. All authority under heaven and earth has been given to him. He's going to raise everyone up at the end of this age to either a resurrection of life or the resurrection of condemnation. Depends on what you do with him. I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Talk about a win-win situation, right, Captain? How can you lose as a child of God? I mean, He who believes in me, even though he may die, that may be your father, your mother, your grandparents, the saints of old, certainly they've died. He who lives and believes in me shall never die. Now, I personally think that's a cryptic reference to everyone that's going to be alive when Jesus comes back. Certainly, that blessed group of people won't ever die. I always say to my church family, that's the number one thing on my bucket list, not dying. What do I want to do before I die? Not die. I mean, who can blame me for that one, right? Certainly, if not in our lifetime, in the lifetime of your children. I believe that. It is. No one knows when. Just question is, are you ready for his return? That's always the right answer. Are we? Back in here at Sunday school trying to figure this stuff out, and you can't. All you can do is strive and be ready. For at such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man comes. We just don't know when. All you can do is strive. He's coming again a second time apart from sin to everyone who looks for him. Remember the crick in the neck. You guys all should have your own chiropractor from having a crick in your neck. I'm looking. Well, maybe he didn't mean what he said. I believe that he did mean what he's coming again to everyone that's looking for him. And you look for him by how you live. You look for him by the things that you do. You look for him by the things that you won't do. So, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Now, if my interpretation of that is wrong, he means if you die in Christ, you're never going to die. You're never going to face the second death, if my interpretation of that is wrong. Because the Bible says we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ so that each one will give an account of the things that they've done. That's for people that have already died. But if you die once and call on the name of the Lord Jesus, you won't die twice. Death cannot help you. It's no escape. It's dying. So as a child of God, you have a choice of either one of two options. Number one, living, and number two, not dying. This is how we can rejoice at celebration of life services here in this church. And this is why we won't have a service for non-members or unbelievers here, because I personally refuse to lie to anybody. I'm not going to get up here and lie to anybody. Without Jesus, there's no hope. How can I get up here and offer hope to anyone if you die without Jesus? You've got no hope if you die without him. So, living or not dying, God will decide which one of the two will come to pass for you. Number six, you see, all the time at a Billy Graham crusade in an age gone by, but the promise endures forever. And that is, next to 14:6, you can write the way, the truth, and the life. I am the way. Greek word hodos. It's the same word for a street or a boulevard. Jesus Boulevard. There's only one way. Man, you got to be on Jesus Street. He is the street. And I guess we could say it's a one-way street, right? You know, you can't go the wrong way on this one-way street. There's one street, there's one way, and he's at the end of that street. And he is the door, and you got to go through him. He's done all the work. He's already died on the cross. All you got to do is call on the name of Jesus Christ. He's done all the work. John 14:6. I am the way, the truth, and the life. That's ego eimi. he hodos kai he aletheia kai he zoe. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Jesus' very own words. I'm just a preacher sharing them with you. Number 7. Next to 15:1, you can write the true vine. The true vine. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Deceitful vines are everywhere. You know, I've never really talked about, so I was thinking, never really explained any of this before. I've always blown over this one, the vine, the true vine. Deceitful vines are everywhere that you turn. So I got to be thinking, what are you into? I mean, that's what vines are into something, right? What are you into? Yoga? You see, unless if you do Christian yoga, I've been thinking, what would Christian yoga look like, right? I am the way. I am the truth. I'm going to write a book on this. Paul Esposito's Christian Yoga. I'm the way. I am the truth. I am the truth. I am the light. Enter in by the narrow gate. For many, I say, will try to get in, and they will not be able. May that be your Christian yoga today. You want to do yoga? Better be done this way, not this ungodly, worldly way. You're going to channel anything other than Jesus. What are you into? Yoga? New age? False religion? Into this scene or into that scene? What are you into? What is your vine grafted into today? That's my question. What are you into? Jesus says, apart from me, you can do nothing. You got to be grafted into that. He says, I am the vine. And my Father is the, King James says, husbandman. He's the vine dresser. He gets out his scissors. He's got his own little toolbox. God's got his toolbox, right? He's got that sandpaper. Fine-tune you a little bit around the rough edges. He got his little clip. He clips off all that stuff you shouldn't be doing. And then he's got a hacksaw for people like me. Got to get that saw out, and he's got to cut limbs off. Apart from me, you can do nothing. We only have one of four options or conclusions regarding the man named Jesus. And you must decide this morning which one of these four is your choice. Option one. The stories in the Bible are all legends. Jesus never really existed. And all the stories in the Bible are just that. Stories. You can choose that if you want. Option number two, Jesus was a liar. He says, I'm the door. He said, I am the only way. If he's not true, then he's a liar. There's no third option. Either he's true or he's a liar. The Apostle Paul knew the truth, and he said, let God be true and every man a liar. What do you do with Jesus? Either it's all legend, option two, Jesus was a liar. Jesus willfully spun lie after lie. He laid claim to a title before Abraham was, Ego Eimi, called himself Jehovah. He laid claim to a title and a position to which he had no right. He promised to people things that he willingly knew that he could not deliver. Or option number three, Jesus was a lunatic. Jesus was deranged and deluded. And he told stories and taught things about himself which revealed insanity, not inspiration, and delusion, not divinity. Or option number four, which is the correct conclusion, in my opinion, and that is Jesus Christ is Lord. Jesus' promises and claims may be relied upon. He is God in the flesh. He is the God-man and the Savior of the world and the great I Am. Jesus has been raised from the dead. That authenticated, and that's what sets him apart from me amongst a million other things, is that God raised him from the dead. That's what sets him apart. God authenticated every word Jesus said by raising him up from the dead. This book is written by eyewitnesses. Anyone can make the claim, but the Son of God is alive today. That's what sets Christianity apart from everything and everyone else, is that man in the glory is alive. He's alive. Now, C.S. Lewis wrote this. A man who was merely a man and said the sort of things that Jesus said would not be some great moral teacher. He would either be a lunatic on the level with a man who said he was a poached egg, or he would be the devil of hell. You must make your choice. Either this man was and is the Son of God, or else he is a madman or something worse. You can shut him up for a fool. You can spit at him and kill him as a demon. Or you can fall at his feet and call him Lord and God. But he continues, let us not come with some patronizing nonsense about him being some great human teacher. That's Mere Christianity, page 52. Who is Jesus? I love this quote. He is the bread to feed upon. He is the light to follow. He is the door to enter. He is the shepherd to guide you. He is the resurrection upon which to wait. He is the way of salvation to trust. And he is the vine in which to abide. And Jesus Christ is the great I Am. The same I Am who called Moses out of the burning bush. Let's pray. You can kill that now. Lord, we exalt you here today. Thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for dying in our place. We believe you are the Son of God. We call out to you here today. We receive you. We believe you. We believe your word. We believe you are true and everyone else is a liar that contradicts your truth, Lord. Thank you for revealing yourself to us here today as the great I Am. And we praise you now, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
You have been listening to WGOD Radio, the radio ministry of Island Community Church. You are cordially invited to attend one of our services at Island. We meet Wednesday evening at 6 p.m. for Bible study, and Sunday morning service starts at 10:30. Island Community Church is located at 1000 North Banana River Drive in Merritt Island. The church's email is islandcc1000@gmail.com. Join us again next time for WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time.